Well, good morning, family. Merry Christmas. Oh, my goodness. Come on, let's try it again. Merry Christmas. Hey, it is great to see you this morning. It's good to see some family that I have seen for years and some family that I haven't seen for a really long time. If you can, go ahead and stand up to your feet this morning. We are excited to celebrate the Christmas season together, and I'm excited to lift my voice with you. It's been a wonderful season as we've thought about what child is this. What child do we celebrate? And so we're going to continue to celebrate that child together this morning. So lift your voice and let's worship together. Merry Christmas. Here we go. Let's sing together this morning. Here we go. Hark the herald.
Hark the herald, angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Christ the highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Brings, present with healing in his wings. Now he lays his glory back.
Praise the Lord. We do want to give glory this morning to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like I said before, we've been out just celebrating all the different names of Jesus. This morning, as we continue to lift our voices, we're going to see Jesus as our peacemaker. This morning, as we calm things down, let's think about the peace he brings. This morning we come together humble to worship you. Lord, we desire to see you and to come together and adore you this morning. Help us to see you together. That you are the only one who brings us peace. Lord, we pray that we would see you again through your word as we fellowship together, as we worship together, that we would see you this season. We love you and we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Family, you may be seated. Well, it is good to be with you guys this morning again. Merry Christmas. How about that choir up there, huh? We praise the Lord for them. And man, praise the Lord for Mark and Debbie. They've put in a lot of work, a few hours of rehearsals with some folks. And it's been a lot of fun to put this to put some things together with this team. So I got a couple of I've got a couple of quick announcements for you. But as I give them, if you are in this room and you are fifth grade and under, kids, we've been doing this for the last 3 weeks. If you guys can come on up to the front and just grab your seats right here on the front of the stage, I'm going to give announcements real fast, and then I'm going to turn you guys over to Pastor Chris. There we go. Of course, there's one that always runs faster than everybody else. All right. So I got a couple of quick things. If you can throw the first slide on the screen, Dominic, because I don't remember it right off the. There we go. We are getting together tonight at 5 p.m. for service. And we talked about this a little bit last week. There's not a ton of pictures of this on Facebook, but we always get together as a family Christmas Eve night, light candles, sing Silent Night. We hear a gospel message. It is a great family time together. You are invited. If you're not normally here on Christmas Eve, I'm personally inviting you to come on out, hang with us for a little bit. It's going to be a really great time of fellowship together. Next, I believe this is the after Christmas. Yeah, if you're a young adult, if you're in that, like, I've graduated out of the Bonfire Youth Ministry, I'm not a senior in high school anymore, I need some young adults to fellowship with, there's an after-Christmas party. The 28th of December is going to be in the refinery from 6 to 8, $5. I think I see laser tag on the screen. That sounds really fun. So I want to invite you, if you're a young adult, go and call the number on the screen. That's going to get you connected and get registered. If you need any more information, feel free to contact the church office, and that'll be a really fun time of young adults getting together. And the last one, kids, I'm glad you guys are facing this direction, because this is for you. Next Sunday, New Year's Eve, 10 a.m., all of you little people be here because there's going to be pancakes and hot cocoa. So that's exciting. I expect one of you to bring me some pancakes and hot cocoa. Only like five of you are listening, but I expect you to bring me some anyway. All right. Awesome. Okay. We'll see you guys then. Family, it's my pleasure to turn you guys over to Pastor Chris for our devotional this morning.
All right, guys. I'm excited. Hey, you know, you're really far down there. I can't even see you. Can you guys bunch up just a little bit? John, would you come down? Would you move down for me? Maybe sit right here. Would that be okay? I don't want to embarrass you. Yeah, squish down. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Thanks, man. Awesome. Well, guys, this is kind of a big deal today, yes? Are we right on the verge of something pretty cool? Wow. Nothing. What is today? It is not Christmas. It's Christmas Eve, right? December 24th. And who knows what year it is? Morgan, what year is it? 2023. And do you know the significance of that number? Why is it 2023? 2023 years ago, something about then, something happened. Do you know what happened? No, not the world was made. The world was changed. How was the world changed 2023 years ago? Anybody? You forgot. That's why we have to keep track. Ken, Mike, what's different now? You forget too. Okay, Lily, save us. What happened 2023 years ago?
Sin came into the world and Jesus came.
Jesus did come to that. So it's just the second half of that. About 2023 years ago was the first Christmas. It was the night that we keep talking about. It was the night that Jesus was in the manger and God entered into the world. But more on that in a few minutes. I have a bag of tricks with me. I always bring something to show you guys. And I want to show you one of my favorite things that I'm not sure if you guys have had in your hands, but everybody who's sitting behind me when they were little had this on their hands and they were super excited when it came. I'm going to show it to them first, okay? Right? Are you serious? When the catalog came, wasn't that a big deal? That was a super big deal. So when we were little, we didn't have a bunch of screens, and we didn't have a million cool TV shows. We only had like two or three channels. But when this came in the mail, and usually it was even thicker than this, it was usually like, I mean, hundreds of pages, and it was the toy catalog for Christmas. And it was awesome, because what would mom and dad do? What do you think? What do you think mom and dad would do, John?
They would buy stuff.
Yeah, but first you had to tell them what you wanted. And it was awesome because you could just dream. You could dream a thousand dreams. Because there for a few minutes as you look through the catalog, anything was possible. You would mark everything. You would mark the cheap things and you would mark the expensive things. And if there was a toy pony in there, you would have marked that too. And everything was going to happen on Christmas. It was going to be awesome. And you would look through the pages and just like you guys do now. Does anyone look through like a catalog like this before? We still do this at all? Okay, awesome. And let me, what are some of the things that what are people talking about nowadays? What's the hubbub? Nate, what are people talking about? What are you kind of hoping for? Give me something. You don't know. You're totally satisfied in life. You're good. Give me something. Ken, Mike, what do you hope you get? come through for me? A toy, yes. Morgan, what kind of toy? What are you hoping for? Funko Pops. Okay, one or two? Are these expensive? What's one? Okay, what kind? Okay, yes, a Hello Kitty one. Awesome. Lily, what do you want?
VR.
I like virtual reality, like those kind of glasses things. Oh, that sounds really exciting. That is not something we checked off when we were young. Okay, so that is really cool. I wrote down some things when I see this, I get excited, and I am a little bit older than you guys now. I've had a few Christmases, but I see things in here like T-Rex robots, and that seems cool to me. I would love to have a T-Rex robot running through my house. These are some other things that I bet you are popular. It's on this page, in fact. I know Ken Mike has some of these in his house. What's on this page? You got this one, Ken Mike? Legos, right. Awesome. Legos. I love Legos. And I remember, what else, guys? I bet you one of you young ladies is likely to get a package that says Barbie on it here in a day or so. Anybody, any Barbie fans in the audience? Get out of here. Okay, watch. Young women and older women everywhere. Did you ever get a Barbie when you were young? Raise your hand if you have a Barbie in your house. Look at that. Barbies are awesome, I think. I'm told. All right. So this is all good stuff. And then we can dream big, too. We can dream big. I mean, I bet you some of you, like if you have a wise mom and dad, they save some of the big presents for Christmas. I bet one or two of you are going to get a bike. I bet one or two of you might get a game system. I bet one or two of you, I wonder if anyone's going to get a kitten or a puppy. Because that is that's a big deal. There are some families here that can't control themselves even when they're shopping for new houses and they get puppies. You know who you are. What was that all about? Okay, so anyway, big night. Anything's possible, right? Okay, so we're gonna go to bed tonight and we're going to wake up and it'll be awesome. And there'll be a million, pieces everywhere tomorrow. And if you don't think so, Val, you're going to clean everything up as you go? Whatever. It's going to be a big explosion in your home, and there's going to be just pieces everywhere. And guess what? Who really, I mean, if we're just being honest, do you just love it? Do you love the toys? Raise your hand if you love toys, right? Okay, me too. I'm still excited about gifts. But here's the little secret about gifts. Girls, ready? Here's a little secret about gifts. A year from now, the gifts you get tomorrow, they'll just seem okay. Sometimes we lose the pieces. Sometimes they get worn out. A lot of times they're not as exciting as we thought they were going to be. Right? Because sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. Can I have your eyes? Can I have everyone's eyes? Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. And as you get older, your idea of what is a really, really good present changes. And I bet if we asked your moms and dads tonight or this morning what they are really hoping for, it probably wouldn't be anything in this catalog. One, because we're all grown up now and we're not as exciting as you. But really because we've started to learn what we really, truly need. I want to ask you guys a question. This is kind of a busy time of year for mom and dad, right? If you kind of noticed, there's a lot of things going on. There's food and plans and calendars. And there's a little bit of stress. You guys know what stress is? Val, you know what stress is? Do you know what that means? When people are worried, right? There's a lot. You girls are hilarious. Someone's getting a facial up here. I bet if we asked our moms and dads what they really need, it would be the word. It would be a word or a thing that you can't find in here. It would be the word peace. Girls, can you listen for a second? Does anyone know what peace means? Ken, Mike, you've burned me a couple times, dude. I don't know. Yeah. Anything over here? Nate, redeem yourself. What does peace mean? A little louder. I can't hear you, man.
You're calm.
You're calm. Everything's okay for a few moments. Does peace last forever, or does it kind of come and go? What did you want to say, Trip? What is not love? Yes, when our homes have peace, you can just feel the love. Now, here's a question I need to know. Maddie Parliament, is your house always at peace? No, it is not, right? Are sometimes people upset with each other in your house? Is that true? It's okay to admit it. You know what, Maddie? Me too. Okay, help me out, crowd. Help me out. Has anyone had a lack of peace in their home this week? Has anyone had a fight in their house this past week? Four of you have had a fight. Amazing. Some of them are truth challenged. Okay, so we have this desire for peace. And this is what the Bible says. Do you know who the Bible describes Jesus, that baby that's in the manger, in this way? It says this in Ephesians. Paul's telling us, and he says this. He says, he himself. Andrew, you hear me? Okay. He himself is our peace. There are some gifts that are so amazing that you don't even know to ask for them, John. Like there's, you could go through here and almost everything in here would be fun for a moment, except for the girl stuff. But then it would wear out and you would lose track of it and it wouldn't hold your interest anymore. But the Bible says that Jesus is a gift that you so desperately need, and you needed it so bad and you were so lost that you didn't even know to ask for it. These girls are telling me that we're done, I think. Yeah. So hopefully we've soaked all of that in, okay? I want to pray for you guys. Hey, I tell you what, guys, ladies, meistering ladies, you have your moment in a second. Can you listen to me for a second? I want you to practice tonight and tomorrow morning the idea of peace. And one of the best ways you can do it is by being grateful and joyful. There are people that love you that have been working for weeks and months and really the whole year to do something amazing for you, Hayden. Really, you're going to have a great night, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, this has been anything but peaceful for the past few minutes. But we just say we need you, and Jesus, we proclaim that you yourself are our peace, that you tore down that dividing wall that separated us from the best gift ever, which is your presence. Jesus, I pray that a few of the words that we've spoken tonight would sink into these young hearts. I pray that even in the moments of disappointment over the next few days with toys, that they would understand that there are treasures waiting for them in heaven that will not rust, treasures with the moth that moths will not eat. We love you, and we just can't wait to celebrate you more tonight. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, wait. So now we have a chance to watch the Meistering family help us along in our worship time. So it is their time. And girls, you want to join mom and dad? They are gonna hop up there. So this is Justin and Leah Meistering. Ladies, you can raise up and go to mom and dad. Go ahead. This is Annabelle and Charlotte and Olivia. And they are going to read a section of God's Word. And they are going to light the fourth Advent candle in anticipation of tonight when we light the Christ candle. And Justin, would you step up to the tape there so we can see you? Awesome. Perfect. All right, let's listen, guys.
For some reason, they want us on the stage even longer.
You guys are awesome.
I'm sorry. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Christmas!
Awesome, guys. Yeah, we can clap. Sure. Yeah, let's clap again. Yeah, why not? Thank you, Maestrings. Hey, guys, before you go back to your seats, we have a little gift just to get you started, okay? And I promise, well, this is going to be the most amazing gift you get all year. Come on up. All right, Ms. Suzanne's going to help me. Here, go to Mrs. Ann, too. Okay, just take one, please. One and only one. Okay, take one. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Take one, please. There you go. Thank you for being patient. Very nice. You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, hi, Briggs.
Good boy. Well, thank you, guys. Pastor Chris, that was very brave of you. I am so glad Chris had to do that. Chris, and I'm pretty sure you had them for the first minute. Yeah, they were right there with you. I had asked Chris that when he was going to ask the kids about peace in the house, to have the kids answer the question, who causes the most non-peace, mom or dad? Just so we could see which families have problems. But he didn't want to ask and put the kids on the spot. I remember, Pastor Chris, when our family, when all of our kids were little, we would try to do devotions, and it invariably led to me losing my patience when the kids couldn't listen. So you did a great job, and maybe there was a bigger illustration of peace than we thought. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Perry Hall Baptist Church. Pastor Dave Moyer is my name, and grateful for you all to be here with us. I would encourage you, even as we now spend time in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 9, which is what the Maestrines were reading, or did read. That was Isaiah chapter 9. That's where we'll spend our time this morning. We will be back together again, just to remind you, this evening at 5 p.m. for a special service, and we will complete our Advent series this evening with the name of Lord. We've been walking through a couple of the many names and titles of Jesus. We've looked at Warrior, Judge, Savior, Prince of Peace, or Peacemaker this morning. And tonight, a good reason to return so that you can hear the fifth and final message in our Advent series on the title of Lord. So I hope you can do that and bring a friend tonight. It is a special time as we celebrate the coming of the Savior. We close with some beautiful candlelight singing, and so we hope that you will join us. We are in certainly one of the most beautiful Christmas passages in all the Bible, if you want to look at that way, in the sense of the coming of the Savior. And I want to draw your attention there in just a minute, but I would ask you to join me to pray so that we can ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word. Father, this morning we have endeavored to worship you in song, maybe before that through fellowship, through the illustration that hopefully makes an impact on the hearts of young kids. Father, through the reading of your word, and now, Father, through the preaching of your word, our goal is to worship you well, to honor you, and Father, now to teach the scriptures in such a way that are accurate, biblical and honoring. And Father, then we ask as we do this that you would help us, that you would prepare our hearts, that we would be ready to hear from you this morning. Father, for just a few moments, we step away from the busyness and chaos of this season and the many ways that the message of Christmas has been pushed aside and the message diluted. Father, we pray that you would give us some moments this morning that will go to the core of who we are, to will go from our minds to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would give us a few minutes of focus. We aim to make much of you today, Lord. It would be our prayer as well that if there be anybody here that does not know Jesus as Savior, Jesus who came to save us from our sins and to bring us peace, Father, would you do that miracle today? It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. We probably in our culture in the day that we live would have to all agree that it's tough to see peace. It's tough to see peace around us in the news. We have war going on in Israel. The scriptures call us to pray for the peace of Israel. We have war in Ukraine. We have tribal wars in Africa. We have Christians being persecuted around the world for simply believing in Jesus Christ. Some in prison, some tortured, some have lost and will lose their lives. We see corruption at the highest levels of government and dishonesty in leadership. We see racial tensions, ethnic tensions. We see murders. We see abortion, we see divorce, we see even taking it closer to home, relational conflict in some of our homes. We see a lack of peace in marriage. And we watch every day as the world runs to every possible remedy for peace that will either not solve the problem or certainly will be short-lived. And yet in the middle of all that, the Lord comes, and one of the names in his birth announcement, this is one way to look at this beautiful passage in Isaiah 9, is this announcement of the Lord's birth. And while Isaiah is to be looked at both with a certain level of, and appropriately so, of fulfillment in Isaiah's day, we see as Christians living post-cross of the incredible fulfillment of these prophecies in the coming of the Messiah and even beyond. And in the middle of all that we just mentioned, this lack of peace comes the Prince of Peace. I don't have a day that goes by in my life where I don't have both the privilege and joy to walk beside someone or a couple that does not know peace. There's not a day that goes by in my life where I'm not dealing with a young person who is looking for peace. It's almost every day, if not several days a week, that I have the privilege to be with a couple that is not experiencing peace. Many of you, if not most of you in this room, are believers in Jesus Christ. You know the Prince of Peace. And yet you would agree there's days where we just don't experience that peace. If you do not know Jesus and you're here as a guest, number one, we're so glad you're here. We hope that something you hear through God's word today would would impact you in such a way that you would want to know, and you're a visitor that doesn't know him, that today you would come to understand who he is and how desperately you need peace. So we come to this passage back. If you have your Bibles, I invite your intention to follow along with me as we look at this passage and we endeavor to break it into three parts. The child is born, the child is the Prince of Peace, and to know peace is to know Christ. There's no peace apart from Christ. So let's first look at the child that is born. This beginning section, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, primarily verse 1, sets up the setting for us. Just so you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but Israel at this time, God's people, the Jews, Isaiah is writing 700 plus years before Jesus. 700 years before Jesus, give or take. He prophesied from about 740 to about 680 BC. And he is prophesying at a time where Israel in the north, capital of Samaria in the north, has been overcome by Assyria. And there is wars, there is bloodshed, there is corrupt leadership, there is political dishonesty, and all the things I just mentioned that we live in today. This is the season he's writing. But if you want to know two words that you can look at any prophetic book, it is the words judgment and restoration. There is judgment for sin, and there is restoration for following and trusting in Christ. Judgment and restoration, and we see that. Read with me or follow along as I read. Verse 1, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Think of that. There will be no gloom. This is good news in the middle of darkness for her who was in anguish. In former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Now, folks, just pause there. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said this is fulfilled in his coming. This exact passage is fulfilled because he is bringing no more gloom but joy and peace to this land. Naphtali and Zebulun in the north of Israel would be most often the first affected by the enemies that would come down. And so this is a passage of restoration is coming. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness, almost always in Scripture, darkness is of a moral nature. They have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. And if you notice now in the next three verses, we'll use the word for. In other words, this is what's happening in light of the context of no peace, of war, of turmoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian, which is a reference to Gideon in Judges chapter 6. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. Now, folks, all this language is to talk about a place of no peace. This message to Israel then and to all believers now is a message that comes in the midst of a day of no peace. Folks, I don't think anybody could disagree. We live in a day of no peace. I even think of the broken hearts that come to me each week in depression and anxiety young kids, anxious, depressed, struggling with so many issues, maybe even issues at home, and they just desire peace. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think about this for just a moment. Do you live with peace? Do you really live with true peace? This is the setting. And now another great four. In the middle of this, a four. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now you remember in chapter 7, the prophecy of the woman that would give birth, a virgin woman, to a child. His name would be Emmanuel. We studied that last week in Matthew 1, that when Jesus came, he is the fulfillment of the virgin born baby, born of the Holy Spirit, the God-man. For unto us a child is, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and praise God for the next verse, part of the verse. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called. Get ready here. We said last week there's over 200 plus names and titles of Jesus. But here in this great birth announcement is four more names. Some would argue five, depending on how Wonderful Counselor is taken. But let's go with four. Wonderful Counselor. These are names of Jesus, Emmanuel. Wonderful Counselor, think of wisdom. Mighty God, think of sovereignty and power. Everlasting Father, think of author, creator, compassionate, loving. Prince of Peace. Now, folks, let's just take a moment here to put all this together where we've been over the last 4 weeks, including today. Jesus is a warrior. Pastor Chris covered warrior and judge. He fights for us. But implied in the name warrior is what? War, battle, fight, victory. A warrior is necessary when there's no peace. Second, we looked with Pastor Chris at judge. There's coming Jesus, the Savior. His coming again is judge. And each one of us stands before him, believers clothed in the righteousness of Christ, unbelievers clothed in their sin and their unrighteousness with no covering, no atonement, facing the judge. No peace. Then comes Savior, who comes and dies because his name is the gospel. It means Savior. Jesus saves. God is salvation. Jesus came to save us. And then, because he's Savior, he brings us peace. I don't know how to say it to you without it sounding not self-serving, but trying to say something that may seem arrogant, but I'm going to say it anyway. Folks, I can tell you by experience in my life that the Lord has given me peace in all circumstances. I don't live in a life of no peace. Oh boy, I hope you all know that. I hope you have a sense of that. But we're going to get into how that can be. But I am grateful to live now with true peace. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So Prince of Peace is the fourth name in this birth announcement. Why the Prince of Peace? Back in the garden, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, peace was disrupted. Peace went away. Harmony. You all know the Hebrew word. It's so funny, I told Chris, I was going to have you all look at this wall. Does anybody know what was on this wall till a couple weeks ago? peace, written in Greek. Shalom in Hebrew, a sense, an original word, wholeness. Wholeness, tranquility, spoke of peace, time of no war, peace, settled peace. It could even be used in the scriptures and even today across the world as a greeting, peace, a wholeness to you. It's easy to say that peace is a theme of all of Scripture. It runs through all the pages of Scripture. In the Old Testament, shalom, and in the New Testament, written in Greek and Aramaic, the word is irene, which also means together, something that is together, the root of irene, Greek word. Together, it's wholeness. It means accord, unity. We see Paul in Ephesians 4. He says that you would all strive, be eager for the unity in the Spirit, in the what? Ephesians 4:3, in the bond of peace. It is across all the scriptures. If you recall, Jesus says to his disciples in John 14:1, in that great passage, we often use it at funerals, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." In other words, be at peace. Chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus again says, "I leave you my peace. With you I leave my peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled." John 16, 33, he said, "You can have peace even when tribulation comes because he has conquered the world." There's this topic, there's this theme of peace. The believer in Jesus Christ can have peace in any circumstances. They can have peace, a settledness, a calm, no matter what goes on in life. This week, you may know, I've invited, by the way, and are listening online, Joanne Simmons' two sons and their families. I believe Chris and Sean and Guy and his family, maybe some other relatives are watching today because I told them I thought that this message may be helpful for them. See, Joanne Simmons, as you probably know, if you read the prayer request sheet, she passed away and went to be with the Lord this week. We've been praying for Joanne for months and months and maybe years. Joanne was not afraid of death, though she was concerned about dying. There's a difference, by the way. The believer does not worry about death, but we're rightly concerned about how we get there. I was able to share with Chris, her son, and with so many people that Joanne would send me text after text of how she was ready and anxious to be with the Lord. What a testimony. Folks, that is peace. And yet this very week, I sat with somebody else that is facing near death and has no peace whatsoever. No peace. So in the middle of this birth announcement, with all the other names that we could spend time on, we have picked for today Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Now, you all are familiar, most of you are familiar with the great passage in Philippians chapter 4 that says this for those of us who are prone to worry, prone to anxieties. And some of you may have committed this verse to memory. It is, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Does anybody know how it continues? "And the peace of God, which," depending on your translation, "surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds." And you're tempted, as one great counselor says, Ed Welsh, you may be tempted to put a formula together. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Dave, oh, I want peace in my life. I want peace. I just want settled calm and peace. You may be, as Ed Welch says, tempted to take from Philippians 4, 6, and 7 a formula. Well, if I pray and I give thanksgiving, that equals peace. Now, how many of you in this room have ever prayed for peace and did not have a sense of receiving peace? If you're honest, you know what I'm talking about. This is just, folks, isn't it good that we can talk real? But did you know the key is not a formula? Here's the key to that passage. And the one that we don't remember or memorize. All of us have been around can say, be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. You come to me and you say, Pastor, I'm anxious, I'm depressed. Don't do it. If you've been around long enough, you remember Bob Newhart's show. Bob Newhart's advice to people that were struggling with any problem, he figured out the key was stop it. Stop it. Stop worrying. The key is not simply looking at the scriptures as some sort of formulaic pathway to health. Although the scriptures provide healing and they provide encouragement, and I could go on and on. But the verse that precedes verses 6 and 7 gives you the key. It says this, the Lord is near. Folks, let me say that again. Peace that passes all understanding is available. Yes, through prayer. Yes, by thanksgiving. But it's available because the Lord is near. In other words, real peace is not simply an emotion or a settledness, and certainly not just a greeting. Real peace is a person. Real peace is a person. Let me share it this way from a devotional I read recently. It says it this way. Peace came. Peace lived. Peace died. Peace rose again. Peace reigns on our behalf. Peace indwells us by His Spirit. Peace gives us everything we need. Peace convicts. Peace forgives. Peace delivers us. Peace will finish the work that peace started. In other words, it's simply saying Jesus came, died, rose again, and dwells us by the Spirit. Convicts, forgives, encourages us. The Bible says, if you could turn now to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and you're thinking, Pastor Dave, that was a nice application. What I just said was the Bible. Look at it with me, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in this context of Ephesians chapter 2, it's speaking about the hostility that existed between Jew and Gentile. As you know, the Jews were God's chosen people, or God's chosen people. The Gentiles were aliens. They were not part of the covenant promises of God. Read with me this incredible peacemaking from God. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, this is verse 11, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, that's Jew and Gentile, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were, this goes for the most of the people, if not all of us in this room, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is the plight of every human being apart from Jesus Christ. We live as aliens, separated from God. More than that, Romans 5 says we are enemies of God. We have enmity between us and God, all the way back to the Garden of Eden when man, Adam, and Eve sinned. And here in this incredible passage, we see the solution, God's solution. There was alienation. There was estrangement. No hope without God in the world, and I would say without peace. Verse 13, one of those great times where we see the word but. But now in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, this is what I was speaking to, and here it says it in Paul's letter, verse 14. For he himself is our peace. He is peace. By the way, you'll notice, for he himself is a pronoun. Pronoun, it's this idea in Greek language, is intended to add emphasis and to intensify what has happened here. He himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh, that is the shedding of blood on the cross, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in the place of two. What next? So making peace. Now, practically, the peace between Jew and Gentile, the peace in national sense, the peace in a family, the peace in individuals is hindered because of sin. Sin makes us enemies. Sin makes us better fighters than lovers. And he on the cross, Christ Jesus, he breaks down all of that hostility, that estrangement, and provides the only way to true and lasting peace, and that peace is in and only in him. Said another way, if you have not been reconciled as a sinner to a holy God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you remain at enmity, at war with God, and under the target of his wrath. Conversely, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood of the cross has been shed for you, and peace has been made, so that no longer are we enemies, but we are now part of his family. Oh, folks, don't miss this with shining lights and excessive gift giving. All these things can be good in their place. But we don't just celebrate one time of the year, we celebrate all year. The coming of the Prince of Peace. The child is born. We have his birth announcement in Isaiah. The child is the Prince of Peace. When we talk about peace in relationships, and we talk about a peace in a marriage, and we talk about peace from anxiety, and we talk about peace in government, and we talk about peace from war, all those come under where we really need true peace. See, folks, sin has kept peace away. Sin has disrupted peace. You say, Pastor, if I just could have a better relationship with this child or this sibling or this person, if I could just have peace, if there would just be peace in the world and I could be the Miss America lady to get up and say, what do you really want? It is world peace. None of that is going to change, folks. None of it. Your internal peace, your peace with one another, or your peace with God without Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. In the book of Jeremiah, This is so critical for us to hear. This announcement that God, see, as I see it, there's these two, among many others, these two incredible miracles. There's one that is a miracle when God comes in and changes my heart and he changes your heart and he gives us a new heart and he renews us. The Bible talks about regenerates us, a new beginning, a new life. We are crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. That's a miracle, the new heart. Regardless of what your pathway to Jesus Christ, whatever that looked like, that's a miracle. The greater miracle, folks, is that God Almighty, Creator, Sovereign One, wrapped himself in flesh and came as the Prince of Peace. That's a bigger miracle. If you're honest, you admit that while you grasp some of that, you can't completely grasp it. This is why this is so important. In Jeremiah chapter 6, just jot this down, Jeremiah 6:14. You don't have to look it up. Jeremiah 6:14 and Jeremiah 8:11. Listen to the words of the false prophets of Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah is a contemporary of Daniel's and Ezekiel's Babylonian captivity. Listen to the words of the false prophets and see if you do not hear that echoed today. This was the message of the false prophets. Peace, peace. That was the message. Peace, peace. Does anybody know how that sentence ends? They cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace. Folks, this is happening again today when we have therapeutic religion from the pulpit to talk about all these ways we can fix problems and deliver peace that do not go to the heart level where there will never be any peace. The false prophets tried to tell the wicked people there was peace when there was no peace. And I'm quoting scripture. Jeremiah 6:14, Jeremiah, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Oh, folks, there is no peace unless you know the Prince of Peace. You can run and run to every imaginable and elusive and imaginary source of peace, and it will not satisfy. There will be no peace. If you're like me, there's been times in my life, as I'm now 58 years old, over the last 40 or 50 years, I tried to find peace somewhere else. Let's finish this and watch what Christ does in verse 16 of Ephesians 2. Not only did he on the cross bring one man out of many, Jew and Gentile. Verse 16, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And don't you love this next phrase? And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. This is the same message that Paul talks about in Colossians 1, 20 to 23, where he says, alienated, strangers, sojourners, in desperate need of peace. And folks, the one peace that in a sense unlocks all other peace, where you can live in peace, is to be reconciled with God through Christ. If you sit here today without being reconciled to God through Christ, Folks, this is not meant to scare you. This is the reality of Scripture. You remain an enemy of the living God. Just flip back a page or two and just look at the beautiful way Paul says this to the Romans in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now look at verse 8. How did all that happen? But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Prince of Peace, died for us. We have access to the Father. Let me speak, if I can, just practically. If you're in the room today, most importantly, and you have any questions about your peace with God, oh, I would love to talk with you. I sat with a man this week, 70 plus, and it's interesting that not only did the man not have peace, he lived with a certainty of heaven, even though he does not know the Prince of Peace. And so my plea is, if you don't know that you have peace through Christ, then I would love to see you. I'd love for this to be the day. But coming out of that relationship with Jesus that brings peace, when he reconciles a holy God to a sinful man by the blood of Jesus on the cross, you may ask, well, Pastor, I am a Christian, and you have no idea what I'm going through, and I don't know how you expect me to have peace in my circumstances. Well, Joanne's one example. But try this on. What if you lost your entire wealth, all that you have, most of it? Let's say it all went away. That would cause you a lack of peace. What if your 4-year-old child died of an illness? But you have 4 little girls left. Those little girls, Maggie, Tanetta, Bessie, Anna, 4 little girls. Lost your son, lost everything. But then you get a telegram from your wife. She was on a ship heading to across the Atlantic Ocean. And she telegraphs you to let you know the ship was in a massive crash and sunk. And the only words your wife sends you is, saved alone. Little boy, scarlet fever, most of your wealth. Your 4 remaining daughters perish in a sea accident. You're a believer, but it doesn't add up. And yet that believer wrote these words, when peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, come on, it is well with my soul. Oh, is that beautiful, folks? After all that loss, that man's name was Horatio Spafford. If, to quote Johnny Erickson Tada, if our life is nothing but calmness, we will miss the opportunity to see our faith strengthened. We will miss the opportunity to see our hope glow brighter. We will miss the opportunity to point people to a saving, peacemaking God. So to finish that quote from Johnny, she says this, and you know her story. In a wheelchair, unable to use arms and legs for her whole adult life. She says this about peace and about life circumstances. She says, so be the one that makes trials your friend. Be the one who endures hardship as a good soldier. Be the one who stops asking God the badgering questions of why and kneel as a person of peace. Now, what I just described, I believe this with all my, is impossible until you know in a saving way the Prince of Peace. That kind of peace that lives through circumstances. And by the way, there's no gimmick. There will be pain. There will be anxieties. There will be regrets. There will be doubts. But oh, folks, in the midst of all that, if you know the Prince of Peace, you will know peace. So the question that we end with is three. Do you really, really know the Prince of Peace? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to the end of your search for peace and hope in every place it will not be found? A place that only at the cross you can be reconciled to a holy God. Do you know that Prince of Peace? Number two, do you have true peace in your life? You have true peace. And then finally, because of the peace that we have been given by the Prince of Peace, we are called in Romans 12:18 to live peacefully. As we are up to us, we would live peacefully. Number two, we are called in Psalm 34:14 to seek peace. We are called in Ephesians 4 to pursue unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that is only possible through Him who is our peace. And then we are called, listen, to be peacemakers. Anybody remember the Beatitude, verse 9 of Matthew 5? Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Did you know that it said in that passage in Ephesians that we read, it said that Jesus preached the gospel of peace. Jesus preached the gospel of peace. Interestingly, the word for preach there, the word for Jesus preached the gospel of peace, is the word euangelion or euangelizo. It is the word for we get evangelize. We have this beautiful chance, especially at this year, oh, folks, to preach peace to a world that is dying without peace. We have a chance to give people what is only true peace can be found in the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, you are the Prince of, your Son is the Prince of Peace. In the great announcement of the prophet Micah, after announcing that the Messiah would come through Bethlehem, and then it says that that Messiah who is coming is our peace. He himself, Ephesians 4:2-14, he is our peace, he himself. Oh, Father God, this Christmas season, may we, in the midst of the spectacular chaos and beauty and fun around us, may each person that hears my voice today, may they know the Prince of Peace, who has made peace for sinners through the blood of the cross with the Holy God. Father, do not let one leave here today that doesn't know this kind of peace. Father, may we gospel the gospel of peace. May we proclaim it for your glory. The glory of the King, the glory of the newborn baby. Mary, her baby boy, was the Prince of Peace. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand with us as we'll close our time together in song.
Tonight, I know it's a busy day and some of you have commitments, but if you don't, please join us tonight for our 5 o'clock Christmas candlelight service. Pastor Chris will be bringing a message, the fifth in our series on Jesus as Lord. I think we have a kids' musical performance tonight, which you don't want to miss. If you saw how the kids are all revved up, you want to see that tonight. You want to come out and bring the kids, tire them out as much as you can. And so we hope you'll join us. It's a special time of the year as we celebrate the coming of the Savior. So we hope you'll join us. Let me close this in prayer. We'll go. Father, Lord, it's been good to be together. Father, it has been good to focus our attention just for a few moments on the peace that passes all understanding because the Lord has come near. Father God, would you settle our hearts? Would you give us a peace that is only possible when it flows through the Spirit of the Prince of Peace? Father, may we today be people of peace. May those around us see our peace in all circumstances and want to know the source of that peace, and we can lead them to you. Father, may we all celebrate well. May we enjoy our time together. And Father, may we not take our eyes off of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you all.